I like being remote and on video with you because I get to see your office where you're still persisting with that South Sydney jersey. I mean, they're losers, mate.
It's going to stay there. What do you mean? It's staying there. Why would I take rid of that? That's a premiership. You can't take that away from us.
Premiership jersey. It has been done. I think the Melbourne Storm would disagree.
Yeah, well, that was because they rorted the salary cap.
What about I spent the first day here in London? I'm in London, folks. Stephen's in Sydney. Toothless because I'm not wearing my tooth until I'm on TV.
Did and people get off your money in the street, thought you were a homeless person?
Or no, but I'm like, you know, we're at breakfast and I'm with, you know, people we know chatting away. And then I said, oh, and I've got to remember to bring my tooth. I said that. And then they, as if they were busting to ask, they're like, what happened?
I would have said, I got into a pub fight. Just said you and I had a tussle and you know, I got one on you. I would have made up the best story.
Anyway, it's, because I'm not wearing a plate on a plane, put it that way. No. That's just wild.
You can't sleep with it, eh? Like that could be a choking hazard, mate. What's the gap?
Can't sleep with it.
Can't sleep in it.
So, mate, here's the thing. Today, this afternoon, because I hadn't really eaten either. Like I haven't slept. If it becomes obvious that I'm falling asleep on this show, folks, that's why. It's not Stephen.
Long period in silence from Trev. I'll have to be sending a private message to wake up.
Very entertaining. But, the food on offer wasn't to my liking. So there was no like little package of chips. So there was a packet of salted nuts. And I went, okay, I'll go here. Let's go. Salted nuts. Man, I couldn't even eat one nut in like with my plate in. That's just stupid. Mate, as soon as I got back to the hotel, I ripped it out, ordered room service. And weirdly, this is a thing, and you've talked a lot about over the years the effect of dieting on your body and stuff. But like I haven't eaten a meal for 27 hours, right? Yeah. So I ordered a burger and chips and mac and cheese. Mate, I ate half the burger, half the chips.
Your stomach's shrunk.
I don't think so. Not on the outside, that's for sure. Anyway.
You're in London for Apple's event, which was virtual. So they had it at their new headquarters. Is it their headquarters or a store?
Don't spoil it. We haven't got into the show yet. Don't spoil it.
Oh, geez, I'm just trying to set the scene, mate.
Yeah, I guess so. We should
spoiler alert.
I don't know.
People are wondering, why is Trev in London and Steve not in London? They're probably asking.
All right. Let's just do this.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
Without checking with Stephen, episode 632 of Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll edit out Stephen's expletive from the start of the show when he thought we were doing the private thing.
What? Did I swear before? I did not.
Yeah, you did.
When?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, wow.
I think it might have been relating to South. Your emotions took over pretty heavily.
I didn't know you were recording, to be honest, okay?
Come on, mate. When we're remote, record. There's a big countdown, mate. There's a big countdown.
You snuck it in again. All right, that's okay.
Snuck it in. You've been saying that
more
for
work
10 years.
For you. More editing work for you to do.
Cheers for that. We do it all thanks to the great people at Netgear and Arlo. We love them. We love their support. We love their products, and we hope you do too. Or at least we'd love you to consider them when buying networking or home security. Now, you're right, Stephen. I am in London. Apple. Well, we talked about this just quickly last week. Apple announced an event. We all think it's iPads, etc. Spoiler alert: it was.
We were spot on. Yeah,
but it's a virtual event, and then I get invited to London, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And it was like dub. So for people that have listened to us, it was like a watch party. But the additional, you know, sprinkle on top is someone comes out at the start. So when you're watching online, there's, you know, they just wait for the thing to start and then it starts. Here in London, I don't know what happened in New York and Shanghai because there was three events.
Wow.
There was one in New York.
Yep.
Which is where the Latin America, United States of America and Canada – journos and people went.
Yep.
There was one in Shanghai for China.
Yep.
And then there was one in London. I said, couldn't we have gone to Shanghai? And they go, it was in Chinese. I'm like, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. Okay.
I'd love why you didn't get a start at the Shanghai one. Now I know.
Greg Joswiak came out at the start and, you know, basically said, we love this building. So this is Battersea Power Station. It's off the top of my head from my Wiki research earlier, it's an electricity generating power station that opened in the 1930s, closed in the late 70s, early 80s, and was left dormant and vacant for 30 years. And, you know, in the last 10 years, it's undergone a beautiful rejuvenation, kind of like Barangaroo in Sydney. Like, it's a beautiful precinct. Yeah. There's apartments. And the physical building, you know, is still there and it's been, you know, rejuvenated. There's a shopping center, like two levels of shopping centers. And then in the middle is Apple's English or London headquarters, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say five or six levels of office space around a beautiful big atrium. And apparently on top of that is some penthouses or apartments or something as well. But like little things
doing
like
very
this,
well.
This is the Apple way, right? And you would, of all the people I know in the world, you would totally visualize what I mean. But everything was perfect. So you go in and you get in a lift. These are not just rectangular square lift. Yeah. These are lifts with glass. And Stephen, the glass, no corners, rounded glass on the edge. You know,
course.
Like it's just so quintessentially Apple. And inside, a lot of the, I guess, walls, to put it any other way, and some architraves and things, or arches maybe you'd say, are all brick. And I looked at it and went, I wonder if this is like just a, you know, that stick-on kind of brick. No. Apple, because they're Apple, got the bricks, and there'd be tens of thousands made, got the bricks made at the same brickyard where the original Battersea Power Station bricks were made.
So they match, where?
Do you know what I mean? Like, they just...
That's attention to detail for you right there.
You got to say, they try too hard sometimes. but anyway, so yes, there was a small... It wasn't big. It was small in terms of the number of people, but, you know, most of Asia... non-Chinese speaking Asia and Europe were here in a smaller represented way than perhaps traditionally. And there was the event or the film, as they like to say, Greg Joss and, oh man, his name, Adam. Is Adam the guy that introduced all of the iPads? I feel terrible not remembering his name. But anyway, they came on at the end as well and just said, thanks for coming and we're really proud of the building and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And then there was a little bit of hands-on, not
so
easy.
So the building's new. It's only just been opened.
Oh, I did a look online. It feels like they've been in for at least a year, I reckon, like mid last year is my gut feeling. But there's a big Apple store there and everything else. So
naturally.
Anyway, Apple event and pretty much exactly what we thought, if not less than what we thought. Like it was legit just an iPad event. You know?
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting, Stephen, was Tim Cook's opening to a very spectacular video, once again shot on iPhone, edited on either Mac or iPad. You know, they've outdone themselves. But Tim Cook said this is the biggest day for iPad since its introduction. It's a pretty big call to make at the start of a presentation. Did that leave you thinking, hang on, this is going to be bigger than we think?
Yeah, I knew that there'd be not bigger, but pretty bold announcements is what I picked. I thought they're going to do something pretty special here. And just for the record, I was at that original iPad launch back in 2010. So I'm thinking, wow. I was under the impression that they're going to do well. If the rumors were right, and they were, then it was a pretty solid update. And it was like we're talking. It's been 18 months since they've updated their portfolio as well. So. It's a long time between drinks, and I'm having seen the announcements, especially the iPad Pro. Remarkable updates.
So let's talk about. So we'll go through it in a not quite reverse order, but we'll go through it in a product basis, and we'll start with iPad Pro. Now, oh man, this is wild, and you've got to say, as a device, do you remember when, and it was only 5 years ago, that it was every year, it's thinner and it's lighter, whatever it was, iPad, whatever. It was thinner and lighter, thinner, lighter, better, you know, faster, whatever. And I don't think they've really talked about dimensions in such a, you know, achievement way for several years.
Yeah, I agree.
iPad Pro.
I think that was kind of the goal that
companies were trying to get down to a certain thickness. And I think once they hit that, once everyone got to around the same, it sort of everyone went, yeah, well, we take that for granted.
So iPad Pro still comes in an 11-inch option and a 13-inch option. The 11-inch iPad Pro is 5.3 millimeters thick. The 13-inch iPad Pro is 5.1 millimeters thick, making it
incredible,
the thinnest Apple product ever produced.
Yeah.
Like, that's mind-blowing.
Like, just having that dimension is amazing, but I'd imagine you – did you get hold of it or have you seen it up close?
Yeah.
It's that's – that would really make you appreciate it until you get in your hand the how thin that is.
It's hard to accept. Do you know what I mean? Because most people are thinking, is this going to be flimsy? And they say, no, it's the same strength. I was in a conversation with an Apple executive who was asked whether you could sit on it. And they basically said, listen, anything can be broken. Like, so that was their way of saying, don't be stupid. Like,
some gibber on YouTube will bend it in half now. You watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've always respected, for example, Samsung's premium Galaxy tablets, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Their Tab S9, maybe the Ultra, but certainly the Plus and they are thin devices.
Yeah. Is it a 14 inch one they've got that's like 5.8 millimeters or something?
I thought I was just going to look up and go, actually, what is the
it's just below six. Yeah, I think it is still very thin. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But it's nowhere near this is what we're saying. Is that right?
Yeah. Those millimeters are like meters in the real world, aren't they, when you're getting down to that size?
It's so true, isn't it? Because you're like, hang on a minute, what difference does, the difference between 5.1 and, so here we are, I've got the dimensions in front of me now for the Tab S9 Ultra, so their biggest one for Samsung, 5.5.
Ah, okay.
Standard S9 is 5.9. The S9 Plus tablet is 5.7. So
I reckon Tim Cook said, listen, you got to get it under this or it's your job.
and the biggest part of that is the screen, right? The screen technology, removing a backlight. Because I think we often skirt over TV technology. People got to remember that the TV you're looking at is layers. You know, it's a piece of plastic or glass, and then it's an LCD panel, and then there's a backlight, and there's different things that go on. But OLED, as we all know with television, is a pixel that lights up on its own, and it's just that layer. And so the ability to take away the backlight, for example, means that you're taking away a level of thickness. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important part of this design. The most important part of achieving this thickness is OLED as a screen technology. But then they come out and they go, but an OLED panel's not bright enough. Like they literally say one OLED panel was not enough to give us the brightness we expect. So we put two of them together.
Yeah, well, they call it tandem OLED is what the term they use for it, isn't it? Still has all up to, 1600 nits peak brightness? That's still
peak
pretty good.
Peak 1600 and full screen.
HDR 1000. Yeah. That's still impressive for an OLED. And I like the fact that, what are we going to do to make the OLED brighter? Oh, let's put another one in there.
Could you imagine LG said, listen, we've heard your thoughts on brightness, because over the years, OLED TVs have been criticized, I don't think rightly, for their brightness. They've been pretty bloody good. Imagine they just went, we've decided to put a second panel in, OLED, and get almost more double brightness.
You know what? I reckon that could lead to, possibly other companies adopting the same approach. How Samsung this year with their OLED TV, they made a big fuss about the glare-free technology and how that helps maintain the brightness of the TV. That could be step two. They might develop their own version of that if they haven't already.
Now, according to Apple, paraphrasing again, this double-stacked OLED screen, unbelievable, but the previous iPad Pro had an M2 processor.
Yeah.
We know they've got an M3 processor. It's in MacBooks. Yep. But they are basically claiming, and I had a lot of conversations today trying to nut down on this, but I really didn't get to the crux of it. Broadly speaking, though, they say the M3 wouldn't have been powerful enough to actually make this display work. So they had to create a new chip, the M4, which has a bigger portion of it dedicated to graphics. So graphics, not GPU. Graphics, display.
Yeah.
Yep. Display properties. So graphics is one thing, generating, you know, ray forming and all that buddy stuff.
Yep. But
actually the ability to show essentially two screens worth of pixels, because that's what they're doing. It's just the same thing twice. Required more processing power, and that's why the iPad Pro has a dual-layered OLED screen. It's 5.1 millimeters thick in the 13-inch variant, and it's got a brand new chip we've never heard of.
Yeah. I love how they skipped over the 3, by the way. So everyone was expecting 3. That's the only thing we got wrong. We were expecting them to just go, oh, well, naturally it's going to have the M3. But they surprised. That was a surprise. They thought, you know what? We're going to skip 3 and go all the way to 4.
When they basically began in the keynote to allude to the 3 not being enough, I just went, oh, you're going to put a Max 3 Max in it or Ultra? Like, is this going to – what are you going to do here? And then they go, nope, we've created the M4.
Yeah.
And, mate, got cheers. It got traditional Apple keynote fanboy cheers in the room.
Okay, well, yeah, that was a nice surprise, and they're talking even far, like there's new updated neural engine and GPU performance, the whole kit and caboodle. You needed that if they're talking about the pro level performance of this, and as they usually do, they say that this will outperform nearly every laptop that's on the market.
Yeah,
then I think it's the go big or go home approach this year.
A lot of online comparisons to the M3 MacBook Air and the price of that, because, mate, for the same price as what you start to spend here on a 13-inch iPad Pro, you start to really be in MacBook territory, not laptop territory, MacBook territory. Because let's be clear on the pricing. The entry price for iPad Pro in Australia is $1,699.
That's for the 11-inch Wi-Fi only. Yeah,
$300 more than the previous generation.
Yep. Wow,
that's a big jump.
Well, I think has that got to do as much about the exchange rate as it has the fact that it's a newer product, or a bit of both?
I reckon it's almost entirely justified, and we'll talk about the Air in a minute. But the Air's a little bit more expensive, not a lot. So I put the Air down to exchange rate. I think you have to concede that a brand new chip, the R&D, whatever, the display technology, mate. They've put a lot of effort in. It's cost money. That's unfortunately where it's at. There's all this graphite and copper cooling processes involved. Like it's a serious bit of kit. And it is, and let's talk about that. Who's it for? Because it's not for your kids to watch Netflix on.
No, of course not. This is a pro level machine, for sure.
This is for legit. Like, there's a bunch of people here, and Stephen, you'll know better than anyone. When we come to these events, you look around and you go, "Hey, mate, Trevor here, and who are you, and what do you do?" And there's a young lady who is studying at university immunology, like unbelievable genius, and she makes YouTube videos about study notes, making notes. Then there's a chap from Western Sydney University who, again, does YouTube on making notes. Then there's a digital artist and another artist. So it was creatives.
Of course.
And so it's very clear that Apple sees a market for people who are creative wanting these devices, and that was where they were targeting.
Although they even updated a couple of the apps too, like what was it, Final Cut? Final Cut for iPad 2, and then also Logic Pro. So that's film and audio editing. So imagine the power they've put in people's hands for that.
Oh,
but I've got to say, what impressed me was the Final Cut camera, where you could actually, it's like you can use the iPad as a switcher for if you connect all your iPhones. Is that right? So it's like having, you can connect up to 4 and then on the go just be editing your video.
So I went and had this demonstrated, because with great interest, obviously we've got a video workflow now, and we've contemplated what if we did the show somewhere else, and so I'm not packing all the gear up, etc. Right?
Yeah.
So I watched with great interest. So Final Cut for iPad has been updated with just unbelievable features that would take multiple apps and skills to be able to do. So that's just a massive tick. And I'm going to actually start playing around with that because I think there's some things there that are excellent. And then there's this, as you said, new app called Final Cut Camera. And it's basically, you remember how Blackmagic released a camera for iPhone, an app for iPhone? And it was, you know, that's what they've done is they've gone, well, hang on a minute, everyone else is doing it. We should probably have one. It's our bloody machine, right? If anyone knows how to get the most out of an iPhone, it's Apple. So they've built the software into Final Cut Camera. And so what happens is you can use that on your own just as a photographer and videographer to get the best quality, right? But then you can have four phones, and an iPad running Final Cut for iPad, and you open up a multi-view session, and you can have four cameras. They're not on it. You don't have to be connected to a Wi-Fi network, which is critical. You just need them to be, but all have Bluetooth talking and Wi-Fi on. Peer-to-peer connect. And what happens is you can control the exposure and different things from that main iPad, so you can get them all balanced together. And then you hit record, and it records locally on the phones. And then at the end of the session, there's a low-res version available on the iPad to start mucking around with, and it will slowly, as best it can, download the full quality versions onto that iPad, and that iPad then is a Final Cut session you can edit. And with Final Cut Multi, what do they call it, Multicam, basically what happens is you're watching back. Let's say we recorded two blokes on this thing.
Yep.
You just hit play, and you've got four cameras on screen. And then there's four buttons, 1, 2, 3, 4. You just go camera one.
You just pick the shots. Yeah. So it's not live. You do it later.
You do it later. Yep.
Right.
But that's what you want. You want to record. It's like 4K? An ISO recording. Yeah.
Wow.
The full beans.
That's what. Remember we used the Blackmagic. The what's it called? The you know, the mini. Switcher. The ATEM. That's still only full HD. We're waiting for a 4K version.
Remember, this is about recording content, not broadcasting. Yeah, so it's not a switcher.
But I use the ATEM Mini when I'm doing a review video. I've got my cameras set up so I can just switch between them. Rather than editing later, I can just do it on the run. So you're saying
that is you are the perfect target for this. They want you to go.
Yeah.
Because think about and this is crazy inside baseball, but you know, setting up a camera pointing down at your desk is actually bloody hard. Because you've got to get a really good quality arm, and the camera can't be too heavy or it'll droop.
Yeah.
Pain. It's annoying, right? So with a phone, they're light and easy. It's like, so you can have them easily placed high.
Easy to mount, yeah.
From the Final Cut for iPad, you can choose the different lenses. So you can go 5X, so you can have it up on the ceiling and 5X down to your desk. And the thing is, you record it all.
Tricky. Yeah.
You record it all, and then you switch it later the way you want to switch it, rather than you having to think about switching. While you're doing it?
Yeah, right, because you see me in my videos reaching over. Like if you see, if you watch any of my videos, you see me reaching over to switch the angle to the top down and then back to me. And
And by the way, Final Cut Camera works on iPhone XR, XS onwards.
Oh,
anything that runs iOS 17.4 onwards will run this.
That's
so it doesn't have to be all brand new iPhone 15s.
That will be part of my review if and when I get one in my hands. I will definitely be trying that with a few iPhones.
You mentioned Logic Pro, which is not an app I've ever looked at, right, at all. I used to use GarageBand in the, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, Your Tech Life days. I would record the audio and then I would use it to clip up. You could do chapters and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, don't do that anymore.
Trevor ahead of his time.
Yeah. But apparently GarageBand has essentially evolved into Logic Pro, etc. So, hey, I don't know anything about music, but they demonstrated a session that had been recorded, you know, a singer on a guitar with another couple of guitars behind him and maybe some drums. Anyway, recorded live and not recorded as individual tracks. One stereo track. So it's stereo track with all of that combined. They dropped that into Logic Pro, pressed a button, 8 to 10 seconds later, it split the vocals, the keyboard, the vocals, the guitar, the drums, and other. Wow. Split them out. You mute everything and just listen to the singer. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And that's on an iPad. That's amazing.
And then, then they go, right, we need to introduce a session drummer. So we need a drummer, we need a keyboard, we need a bloody tin, music, what do they call them?
brass. What are, drummers?
No. Anyway, other instruments. Yeah. Yeah. And using essentially AI, it will create the music for you. You can tell it to be more human. Like on a drummer, you could say, I want you to be strict or I want you to be more human. And strict means on the beat. More human means, you know, you might, you know. And so, like, mind-blowing demonstration so that's of, sort of part music AI. Being you created.
You mentioned AI. So that's part of the AI. I was very impressed with the AI feature too for the video, remember, where you could actually – you can isolate a subject from its background in a 4K video.
Yeah.
That's huge as well, isn't it? That's so AI.
That was a big topic, wasn't it, AI? Yeah, it came up subtly a lot is what I would say.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I heard from Apple executives that Tim has indicated, so he's obviously on the record somewhere saying it, Tim Cook has indicated they will have a lot more to say about AI very soon. So that's dubbed up, right?
Of course.
But I'll give you an example about isolating a subject for people who might not, you know, do a lot of video. If Stephen and I stood in front of a brick, no, just anywhere, it doesn't matter. We were just standing somewhere. We filmed ourselves, you know, going, hey, welcome, you know, just pointing and stuff, right? And then we wanted the words two blokes talking tech on the screen. Normally you'd whack that on top of you and it'd be over us. If we walked or moved, we might walk, you know, behind the letters. But actually what you want is you want the words behind us and still the background there. So what you could do is you could use that feature you talked about to isolate the subjects. So you have the layer of video that we shot, then you have the text, and then on top of that you put the layer of video again, but you remove the background. And so you essentially have us or the subject in front of the text. Mate, it's the kind of thing that would take an expert in Adobe, you know, After Effects or something.
I reckon that's the strength of AI. That's AI for you right there.
Yeah.
If we could do the heavy lifting for doing things like that, which, as you said, would have taken half a day for someone to do, which can now happen instantly, that's AI for you right there.
Yeah. And you're right, and we've talked about this, the concept of AI is different to everyone. And the last 12 months has made it a very different thing. We talk about generative AI and our large language models and stuff. But the other AI example I was shown was SketchUp, the kind of 3D rendering app. They used an iPad with LiDAR to scan a room, and it accurately, obviously, measured the room, made a floor plan. But then it would identify individual objects in the room, like a chair, a bed, a side table, a lamp. And you could then remove those or interchange those. And while that is object identification, it's AI because it's having to identify what is an object and what is not and name and label that object too. So they were very subtle but consistent in their messaging that they have supported AI. It was originally called machine learning, ML, for a very long time. And a little bit of, again, subtle. It was genuinely subtle in all the, you know, the briefings we would go to, right? Just little, not jibes, just mentions of how, you know, their belief, and Apple's very strong on privacy and on-device processing and all this stuff. They believe that their devices are the most powerful and ready for on-device processing than any other in the world. So you can see where it's going. They believe in on-device AI. And I genuinely hope and think that's what we're going to hear from them in a few weeks.
So was there a hands-on area? Did you see them? Yep. Did you touch them?
Yep.
What's talk about the screen? Did the screen pop, the OLED Mate, screen? Pops. Did you tell it was looked really good?
Just the contrast between the blacks and the color is just utterly impressive. It is really beautiful. Yep. And like, I think the screens are great now. Let's be real. They look amazing. But when you see this OLED, the color pops, the brightness is exceptional, and man, the contrast to the blacks is phenomenal. So
I do like the new Magic Keyboard. Really, is even thinner and lighter, isn't it?
It's a bit more to the touch, like a MacBook Air, and the trackpad on it is a bit bigger, and it's like a glass. It's got haptic feedback too, isn't it? It's a material that feels like a traditional.
Yeah,
doesn't feel like a piece of plastic on faux leather, you know, like a lot of those trackpads
backlit
do.
Keyboard too, backlit, all whole bit.
But mate, just I think about I had the big, do I have the big iPad Pro? I think I had the big iPad Pro, and I was quite happy to send it back. I didn't miss it. I bought myself a mini, because it's a big unit. The current model is a big unit, heavy, big. This thing, mate, I genuinely, and I will continue to say, it made me feel like I was holding that Samsung, but it's better.
Yeah.
Because I think Samsung's had the best in terms of just simple tablet design for a few years now.
Question that I've got and that I reckon other people have is that can you legit make this a laptop replacement? Are there still those limitations of – like I've tried to use an iPad in my workflow and it just didn't quite match the experience on a Mac even though I had a touchscreen there.
Yeah.
Is that still going to be an issue for people or are there changes that they've made to make it a bit more seamless?
No, I think if you get the Magic Keyboard, it's your best hope. Because you've got the trackpad.
You can still attach a mouse. They still have that?
Trackpad, that's what I'm saying. The trackpad exists on the Magic Keyboard, right? So you don't need one. But I think you've still got the limitation of what are you doing on it. Mm. So if I could fully switch to Final Cut, I certainly don't need to use anything else to edit videos. That's quite clear to me.
Yeah, I use Final Cut. I use it on my Mac, but I'll give it a crack on the iPad now.
But I don't think so. I just don't think most people would convert. I think the people that convert away from a laptop to an iPad are a generation like my mum who doesn't ever need a laptop. An iPad or a tablet is perfectly fine for them. I think an iPad for a lot of people is a complementary device. Like all these uni students and designers and graphic artists and stuff, this is the device they'll do their creativity on. They'll still have a laptop for accounting and stuff, even though you definitely don't need it. You definitely don't need it. You could adjust and adapt.
Yeah, because this is the closest that you're going to get to a touchscreen Apple laptop. Let's call it that.
It's 100%
Magic Keyboard, the closest thing you're going to get to a Mac touchscreen device. Yeah.
So I mentioned the starting price, $1,699. If you were to go Wi-Fi plus cellular, add the nano texture glass, which you can do on the terabyte or 2 terabyte.
So the nano texture glass, is that to get rid of the glare? Is that to make it less shiny? Is that right?
Yeah, low reflectivity, just like the monitors, yes. And then I'm just doing a pricing one up for you here. And then you get the 2 terabyte model.
Yeah.
It's $4,479.
Wow. Four and a half. Cool.
Yeah. It's $4,000 for the 2 terabyte model. And then you add the nano coating and the cellular. And by the way, eSIM only.
Ooh.
Yep.
Is that right? So none of the iPads in Australia will have a physical SIM card tray.
It might be only the Pro because they were obviously squeezing down for size, trying to get to that minimum number.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But, I'm pretty confident it's definitely the Pro is eSIM only. Yep. Globally.
Globally. Wow. What is that?
Well, that's fine though, right? Because like if you're getting a data plan for your tablet.
Yeah,
get an eSIM. Yeah. What do you need a SIM for?
Well, my next question is: do you think when are they going to do that for iPhone in Australia? It's already in the US, that you don't your iPhones don't have SIM card trays anymore in America.
Yep.
How soon are we going to get that in Australia? You think?
It's weird because I think the US experiment didn't go well for them. I think they got a lot of backlash for that change. So I don't know. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure we're ready. I think Telstra is ready because the Telstra of the three telcos I've used, Telstra, Optus, and Vodafone, to do eSIM stuff. Telstra's at the top of the pops because you just log in with your Telstra account, you go eSIM, and you're on that phone. So if you get a brand new phone, you simply on Wi-Fi download the Telstra app, log in, and enable an eSIM. Done. It's actually so easy to switch phones. Optus similar, but a little bit more bumpy, and Vodafone. Nowhere near as easy as it should be. It's got a lot of work. I'm back on a plastic SIM just because it's not as easy on a Vodafone to switch phones.
Yeah, right.
It's really not. I don't need that palaver in my life.
Back on iPhone, I take it too, mate. So you're over there. You're back using iPhone as your main driver now.
I'm not an idiot. And no regrets. I'll be honest with you. I've loved the couple of months on affordable Androids. But, mate, they're just – it is hard to quantify. It really is hard to quantify why it just looks, works, goes. Yeah. It's just better.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still on the Android. I'm on the Pixel, the new Pixel 8a, which
they announced it overnight.
We can talk about that. Yeah, we're safe for the embargo, man.
Yeah.
And I've got a Motorola, the Edge 50 Pro.
Edge 50 Pro, yeah.
I'm going to use that from tomorrow.
Great device.
And I'm hoping to get the bloody Nothing phone, but I'm still waiting for it. So I'm going to try and get these out before Dub Dub. Hopefully I'm invited. I'll be able to, I'll go back to iPhone then.
You'll be there, mate. Confirmed.
That's nice to know. You work at Apple now, do you?
So iPad Pro, huge leap forward on its own.
Yep.
That probably is enough to say this is the biggest day for iPad since day one. But yeah, we have more to talk about. And
I do love, before you wrap up, love how I watch your Today Show segment. You pulled out your original iPad, which you took all the way to London with you. And just to think to what they have today and what was announced back in January 2010 is just like just incredible how far they've come.
But I will say to you, I still think that's an incredible device.
Yeah.
Even today.
I agree, mate. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
You know.
And just to repeat, I was there.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw it, mate. I was there. That's history.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
And you were at the new one. So we're,
we'll have more iPad news from Apple's event shortly.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech, proudly supported by our great mates at Arlo. Well, they should be your mates as well. They've got some great specials for Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day this week, so you better act quickly. You maybe gift mum is up to 25% off selected Arlo products. Including the essential wireless security camera, that's down to $149. The packs. So there's the second generation essential camera. You get a four pack for $529. That's a 9% saving. The essential indoor wired camera, that's down under $100. It's $99. They've also got, if you want to go for better resolution, they have the Arlo 5 wireless security. The four-pack is now down to $849. Used to be $1,099. So now's a great time to – look, it's a Mother's Day sale. You might not want to buy them for your mother, but you can take advantage of the savings if you want to. It's a time to, if you haven't started the journey, get on board. You can start for as low as $149. There's even a $99 model now that you can buy from Officeworks. That
98,
can get,
Stephen. I just looked. It's $98.
They've discounted it even further, even better. But there's also, too, don't forget, you can get the wireless video doorbell so that you can answer your door. And what happens when people press the button at your door? It's like you're getting a video call. So you can actually answer it like a phone call, and it's pretty quick. So you can talk to whoever's at your door. All these cameras, by the way, have really good two-way audio. So it's like having a phone call between the person in front of your camera and yourself. So really easy to talk to whoever, but also, most importantly, it does increase the security of your home and helps you keep track of any movement notifications. You can get the Arlo Secure plans to make those notifications even better. So the whole package there, you should take advantage of these savings, up to 25% off for Arlo's Mother's Day sale. Find out more at arlo.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
All right, let's go on to the iPad Air, which was the first thing they actually announced. And again, like when you dig in, when you listen closely to these events, there's some nuggets here, right? Now, Apple is not renowned for really divulging much information about sales. But they said two things, that the iPad Air was essentially the product of previous generations iPad Pros. It takes Pro features from previous generations and brings them down to a more affordable price range. That itself is a big admission, I think. It's never really been stated that way.
Yeah.
But then they said, we're going to release 11 inches and 13 inches because with the iPad Pro, 50% of sales are in the bigger version.
Yeah.
So they've basically come out and without saying it's clearly 50, it's close to 50,
yeah.
Half of all people who buy an iPad Pro buy the big one. And so they've gone, let's make an iPad Air at 13
Makes
inches
sense.
And we'll probably sell a bucket load of them.
Can I tell you, that's going to be my next iPad.
You reckon, yeah.
The iPad Air, 13 inch. Like, oh, look, you know what? The Pro is good to have, but, mate, it's like breaking an egg with a sledgehammer. I don't need it. I don't need all that power.
Yeah.
The iPad Air is absolutely perfect for me. It's the mid.
Starts at $1,299 for the 13 inch. That's a great price as well.
Yeah. What do you think of the so that still has the normal screen? So that's the normal backlit screen.
Yep.
So I know OLED is reserved for just the Pro. But the screen on this one, still the Super Retina in it, the Super Retina, Liquid Retina display on this one. Yeah. There's all the Retinas display. So there's that as well. It also, I understand, faster too. It's got Wi-Fi 6E compatibility. I'm assuming the Pro is the same. Wi-Fi 6E. Or is it Wi-Fi 7 on the iPad Pro?
Wi-Fi 7, surely. No.
Imagine that. Get the Orbi out. Get the new Orbi.
Hey, fire it up.
So between the new Orbi and the new iPad, you're looking at $10,000.
Good point. I mean, it is. So the other thing is they've dulled down the colors. So the blue and the purple are now very light.
Very,
very light. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd get the blue 13 inch would be my go-to.
Yeah.
And probably Wi-Fi only. I wouldn't need the cellular. And so you're saying that there's still a SIM card tray or no on the iPad Air?
I'm pretty confident that it's the Pro. I don't know about the Air. I didn't look close enough.
Okay.
The Air is the one that has Touch ID instead of Face ID. And by the way, on the Pro and the Air, they've moved the Face ID camera or the front facing camera to the top edge. When you're looking at it in landscape, so the longer edge, which is why they've had to rebuild or rejig the way the Apple Pencil charges, because all that other stuff is up there. They had to move things around. Both iPad Pro and Air have Wi-Fi 6E, Stephen.
Okay, and they've got which we picked as well, the camera moving to the longer landscape edge.
Yep.
That's good. So that so basically the rumors were all right, weren't they? There was no what was the surprise was the M4, I reckon, the new chip for the iPad Pro. So to be clear, the iPad Air is still M2 or was it M2 before?
Yep. No,
so
it was the same not M2. Chip?
Ah, right.
It was not.
M2. Okay.
iPad Air.
Probably M1.
So that would be fifth generation.
It was Apple Silicon, actually. It was the A Bionic, A14 Bionic.
It was M1.
M1, okay.
Yep.
So it has gone up in class there.
Correct.
Has the repositioned front-facing 12-megapixel ultra-wide camera, which we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to help you with your FaceTime, video calls, what's it called, center stage, you know, when it keeps you in the middle.
Yep.
Everything's easier now with that.
Yep.
Makes sense, doesn't it? I'm surprised it wasn't like that a long time ago.
Yeah. It was like a weird fail to put it on the short side, as if people are going to hold it up that way when really iPads was like mainly.
A phone. So your phone would be there. Do you reckon they'd ever move the camera on a phone to that longer edge?
No, because no one uses their phone like that.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Some people do. I do.
Stop it.
Imagine you do this. Well, how's this for an idea? Two cameras. One on the top, one on the side.
We don't need that many cameras. All we need are better quality front cameras.
Yeah. Oh, there are some. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but not on, like, I think that Motorola you've got has some of the best front. It's like a 50 megapixel front camera.
Mate, like, I'm going to be taking the hell of a lot of selfies with that one.
Yeah, you would too. Influencers in the wild.
So let's talk pricing then. So what are you thinking? So what starts at $999 for the 11-inch all the way up to – so the 13-inch starts at $1,299, which is – that's pretty reasonable.
Pretty good. I reckon that's pretty good value. And by the way, the entry-level 11-inch – used to be $929 with the previous generation. So it's gone up about $70. I put that down to exchange rate.
And have they added an extra variant on the storage? Because it's 128, 256, 512, 1 terabyte for the Air. And just to go back to the Pro starts at 256, 512, 1 terabyte, and 2 terabytes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I reckon I'd opt for the iPad Air Wi-Fi only 512
in purple.
In blue. Yeah. Blue. What color would you get? Are you a purple man? Can you pull that off?
No, definitely not. I'd probably just go space gray, mate. The blue is very baby blue. Like looking at it in the flesh, it's just too I used to love the that really not deep, but a darker blue iPad Air. It was a great looking device.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, it's a really nice color. That really stood out. But in the iPad Pro, I'm just looking at the comparison in the 13-inch sizes. The cheapest 13-inch is $2,200 bucks. The cheapest 13. And so
$1,000 extra to go Pro.
Yeah. And then the 512 is $2,549. Yeah. That's a full that's like nearly $1,000 more than the other one.
A lot of coin.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coin. Now, the thing that works with both those new iPads.
Yes. Only, good segue. Great segue. I think you're going to talk about the
Apple Pencil Pro.
Hey. Wow. We were did you get your hands on this one too? Did you have a little squeeze?
I had a really quick squeeze. You get it.
You're talking about the Apple Pencil?
You get a haptic feedback at that point, and you can adjust how strong you want that feedback to be as well.
Huh. I was very impressed to see the Aussie boss of Procreate in the keynote. Great to hear an Aussie accent during that
voice for radio. That bloke, wow.
Yeah. Did you meet him? Is he there?
No, I didn't see him. He probably was, but I didn't see him.
Because that it is since they've been. I know Apple's had a very strong relationship with Procreate. They really help. They've helped each other along the way, and Procreate really flourished.
He said, we created Procreate when we saw the iPad.
Yeah. Like, so what's that, 14 years?
Did he say iPad or iPad Pro?
Maybe iPad Pro. I'm not sure. I have to rewatch the keynote.
But so Apple Pencil, there's a few things to it, right? Yep. I'll tell you, so you've got this squeeze notion at the top near the tip. And then there's a
pallets
engine in it, and that, by the way, that squeeze could so there's a thing called Pencil Kit in development.
Yep.
Which, if you have anything to do with drawing, you can just use Pencil Kit, and that opens up a standard menu. But Procreate, for example, when you squeeze, you get buttons. You don't get this kind of menu. Right. If your app is big enough and bold enough, they can build their own action to occur with the squeeze. But the thing is, right, and we'll get to barrel twist in a minute, but because you can do the hover over the page,
yep,
mate, and they didn't show this in the keynote, and it's hard to see unless you're sitting next to someone, but the Apple Pencil Pro casts a shadow on the screen, not using light. An artificial shadow appears on the screen.
What?
You understand what I'm saying? So if you're on an angle on the screen,
why would you need that?
That's a great question that I can't answer.
Proximity to what you're doing.
They did it because they can, and it looks unbelievable. Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of do you remember when the iOS used to have that sort of silver metallic finish to it?
Yes.
And that the light gleaming off the buttons was based on the gyroscope.
Right. Yes.
That's that little attention to detail, little surprise and delight feature. Again, that one fits in that box, I reckon.
Because the idea of the barrel twist. So there's a gyroscope in the Apple Pencil Pro.
Yep.
And they used a few examples, and I think the best one is a paintbrush that is a line.
Yeah.
Like a thick highlighter. You know, everyone knows a highlighter has a line.
Has a thin edge and a thick edge.
So you can slide it thick edge, but then you just twist the pencil and you're on the straight edge. And the great example they showed was a tool in, I think it might have been Procreate, or one of the, and it was a different creative app, and there was a bicycle drawn. Someone had drawn a beautiful bicycle, but the wheel, there was no hub or spokes in the wheel. And they wanted to create the sense of motion. So they used what's called a rake tool, and that rake tool is like, you know, prongs.
Yeah, right? Well.
And so they stick the rake tool in the middle of the wheel, and then they twist the pencil, and it rakes lines in the rim of the wheels to create that look of motion, something that would have taken someone a long time to just sketch by hand or to create the rings and duplicate. Dude, that's just them thinking about it. It's then when you go, what – I said to Greg Joswiak, I said, I love the idea of the – and I did this segment 10 years ago. Things the iPhone can do that Steve Jobs would never dreamt of.
Yeah. You
know, delivering your food. Turning on and off your lights, all that kind of stuff, right? There's going to be things that are created with the barrel twist of the pencil that Apple haven't even thought about.
Yeah.
People, developers are going to go, oh, by the way, if you twist the pencil, it turns it from, you know, 4K to HD. I don't know. Like, who knows? Like, it's up to the developer. That's really exciting.
And you said there's pencil kits, so they can really get in the weeds with that one, can't they?
Yeah, that's how people build apps that use basic pencil. But Procreate have an animation. I mean, it's all beyond my realm of I'm creative, but it's beyond my realm. But this idea that you can draw a scene and have objects hit record and essentially pick up an object with the Apple Pencil. And they said before you do two things. Firstly, you'd pick it up and then you drag it across the screen the way you want it to go. That would set its path. And then you would record again to set its motion. And you might use a circle on the screen to twist it or something like that. Now, with Apple Pencil Pro and the barrel twist, you can grab the item and twist it while you create the path. And that animation is recorded in real time. And
amazing.
Like, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, it is genuinely remarkable. And it's, by the way, I think it's priced pretty competitive, like
the second generation. $219.
Which I think is the same price as what the second gen was.
And is it out? Let's talk about the release date. May 15. Is everything on sale May 15? Pre-orders
I feel like
from
everything's
today?
Next week, yeah.
May 15, I think, is what I saw on the release, which is next Wednesday. And Apple Pencil, they never specified a date, but I'm assuming it's going to be the same time as the iPads.
Pretty confident, yeah.
Yeah.
Be weird to sell those iPads without it. And the last feature we didn't mention, Find My.
On the Apple Pencil. Yeah, cool. Well, I could have used that a couple of weeks ago.
I've lost a few Apple Pencils.
I was trying to locate Apple. To return, and I'm thinking.
To the people who run the Apple Equip Loans program.
This was their idea, yeah.
Sorry. They're like, Trevor and Stephen keep losing. Mate, I've lost so many Apple Pencils. I don't know where they are, in the bottom of bags or something. But it works with Apple Find My, and it's the it's proximity, not precise. So it's the same ability to find it as the Apple TV remote, not quite as precise as an AirTag. Yeah, so it'll bring you to within a meter of it.
It doesn't have a speaker, so it can't make a sound, can it?
Correct. No, it does not.
Damn. Put a speaker in the thing.
But you'll be brought close to it. That's the
point. Yeah, let it chirp at me. Let it chirp when I press the button. That'd be cool.
Simple, tragic man. But, mate, so I think that'll go down very well.
Spot on for the predictions. And I think it tees up WWDC quite nicely. WWDC is less than a month away.
Yeah.
And or about a month away. What is it? Yeah, a month and 2 days away. And I think this is – having these out already, I think rather – like imagine if Apple had announced these at Dub-Dub. It
clears the floor for – iOS, Mac OS, updates to Apple Vision Pro, and there was a hint of it, like there was a bit of tease there to say it's these the cool things happening with it.
Yeah.
And then let's talk AI. That's got to be Dub-Dub.
For sure.
That's
pretty cool. And
all the details of Apple's announcements: iPad Pro, iPad Air, Apple Pencil Pro, TechGuide.com.au, EFTM.com. We got you covered.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
And we do it thanks to the great people at Netgear. And if you are looking for the superior Wi-Fi, then elite Wi-Fi performance is available across your home with Orbi. Orbi is in a class of its own. You can unlock uncompromising speed, coverage, and reliability from the front door to the backyard. And with the latest Orbi 970 series, it really, really steps up. Speed up to 27 gigabits. Wi-Fi 7 quad band, up to 200 connected devices, and Wi-Fi covering 660 square meters. This is not for everyone. It's for people with devices. It's for people who are buying the latest things. The Orbi 970 series is the pinnacle of performance when it comes to in-home Wi-Fi. And you can check out all the details and buy one at netgear.com.au.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
We could definitely wrap up the show having just talked about Apple, but I felt it important, given our history with this topic, to acknowledge that Optus have selected and appointed a new CEO, and that is Stephen Roo, who is, until now, the CEO of the NBN. Stephen joined the NBN 10 years ago as, I think, CFO. And in 2018 was appointed CEO, and he's done a top job. He's a top bloke. He's former News Limited as well.
Worked at News Limited, was a chief financial officer for News Limited, was also at one point chairman of the board for the Melbourne Storm.
They
won the comp in 2012. Yeah, he was on the Melbourne Storm board. Yeah, so he's got a sporting background as well. So I think he was on the board for Foxtel, also the Melbourne Storm, and was CFO at News Limited. Yeah, as well.
So I've spoken to people who work with him at News Limited. Glowing things to say. I know the people at the NBN love him and are broadly gutted, but happy for him. And mate, I think it's good. I think it's a great move. So there's a really important thing about his appointment. It coincides with a change in the way Optus reports.
Yeah, change in the governance. Yeah, true.
They've always had a board, an Optus board, but the CEO essentially reported to Singapore. The CEO now reports to the Optus board. So
that's good.
A lot of criticism.
Shackles are off, mate.
Correct. A lot of criticism of Kelly Bayer-Rosmar, and we'll never know, was our criticism in some way unfounded because she was hamstrung by her requirement to consult Singapore on every bloody thing.
I reckon that's half true, I reckon that's part of it, for
but
sure.
But, mate, if she wants to clarify that, then she should do that. It just feels to me like it was an important little message in the press release to say that, there's an Optus local board and that's who the chairman is the responsible party, and Stephen Roo will report to them. Now, he's obviously going to take a bit to get under his feet under the desk. He doesn't come from a mobile telco background, so he's going to absolutely need to rely on good people in that space. I think he's going to have to recruit. I think he's going to have to get rid of some people too. I've got no doubt that there's a bit of old school goes on in different parts of the business.
Will Gladys still be there, mate? So this sort of puts pay to the Gladys rumours. Will Gladys still be there?
I think David Swan reported this this week that she didn't put a hand up for the job.
Right.
Yeah.
We suspected that. Yeah.
I think Gladys stays in the enterprise.
Stephen Roo was also in charge of NBN during COVID. He was the CEO during the toughest period, the biggest test of the NBN's stability and performance.
Nailed it.
And smashed it. Yeah. So I think he's got a good record. He's, I think he was born in Ireland. So he's an Irishman. Was born in Dublin, I believe. And he has come up through – and at one point I think there was a story I remember reading, sort of looking at his background. He was at one point the highest paid public servant because he was boss of the NBN, which is public – that's government company. And he was on $3.1 million. And he was the highest paid public servant in Australia.
Doing very well.
Yeah. So I'd say you can tell he'd be getting north of that then for Optus. He wouldn't have gone for less. What do you think?
No, I don't think he would.
He would have very well.
I am quite happy to start. And I've been fine with Optus. I've had no gripe against them for some time, but I do feel like we've been on the outer. But I feel very confident that we're starting from scratch as a
– I think so.
As a company and – yeah. I think our relationship will be different and better with them. I'll say this because our listeners have been on the journey. I had contact from an external PR who was assisting Optus, not someone in their team. And we talked about the appointment and then I said, yeah, keep in touch, let me know. And he was like, oh, let me know if there's anything, you've got any feedback or anything. And I went, mate, listen. And I said, does this person still work there? And I named them. And they go, nah, they left. And I went, well, I'm happy to come and meet then. That person that made those allegations towards us.
Ah, yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Is gone.
Okay. Right. Right.
Yeah. I would have felt better if Stephen came in and got rid of them. But anyway.
Well, he must be a good bloke. His name's Stephen. That's for Ryan. So that's one thing.
Good bloke already. Judge of a good bloke. But, mate, exciting. Like here's my question to you. Like, this could be disruptive. Because he could change everything. So Optus Sport.
Yep.
Like you'd sit down and you'd say to Clive Dickens or whoever's running it these days, you say, mate, is it making money? How much money is it making? Like it's a lot of money. They're spending a lot of money on the English Premier League rights. They're spending a lot. Like is that the right game to be in?
Yeah.
Are we a telco? Are we a media? What are we?
Yeah.
I think it's a valid question for them as a company.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Optus Sports seems popular though. People are subscribing or not?
Yeah, but it's a niche. Like,
yeah,
they've got
a niche background. he's got a background in this. Remember, he worked at Fox. He was on the board at Foxtel.
Yeah.
So he does have a bit of sporting experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of clubs in his bag, let's just say. He can and the fact that he was in charge of the NBN, a big part of the Optus business is in broadband and mobile data, 5G. So I think he's the right man for the job there. He coming from a background of the NBN and steering the NBN pretty well in this, like he oversaw the end of the actual initial rollout to the fiber expansion and then the whole stress test that was the COVID lockdowns.
And they continue to expand fiber.
Pretty solid.
The fiber, what do they call it now? The fiber choice program or whatever it is, which is, basically saying everyone should have it if they want it.
If there's one thing he can improve is if, do you remember I sacked Optus because they couldn't upgrade me to fiber to the premises? They just were incapable of upgrading my plan. Like, how simple was that? Mate, get that priority because they've lost a lot of customers because they're just incompetent.
I've been thinking long and hard since the announcement. What are the three things that I'll say to Stephen Roo? And I think customer service is one of them. It's probably number one. I feel pretty confident that my experience.
I reckon, are you going to bring your call centers back to Australia?
Yeah.
You ring up Optus, and honestly, when I was dealing with that thing 18 months ago, I was talking to people in India and they had no idea. It's a reason I left. I said, I'm out. This is too hard. So if I'm one, probably who cares about me? But if this happens often, there's a lot of people leaving.
Don't be sad.
And then bring on the data breach and the outage.
Mm.
There would have been a lot of customers that said, look, see you later, Optus. So I think there's still some rebuilding to be done. And the fact he's not starting till November, is that going to make it harder for him rather than starting straight away?
Yeah, for sure. But it gives him time to decompress and research and think and network.
So is he on gardening leave now then? Has he already resigned from the NBN or is he still going to be in the NBN role for a little while?
They didn't actually say when his last day is. They just said that as a result of his appointment, he will step down from the board and his position as CEO.
I think the email from NBN came literally, I reckon, 1 second before the Optus email about the announcement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 I think they were in tandem.
You got to coordinate those things.
Of course.
Same thing happens. It's like in Formula One, the best one was recently, Nico Hülkenberg. It was like, Nico Hülkenberg leaves Haas. Okay, he's left. And you're like, oh, what's happening? And then like 3 minutes later, everyone's already got a new piece of social content made up. Nico Hülkenberg joins, Sauber. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's all coordinated.
Yeah, of course.
Corporate communication stuff.
That's it.
Look, honestly, good luck to him. I think he can do a great job. He needs to surround himself with the right people. He needs to, and that's the second thing I'd say to him after customer service is you need to be prepared to look at people who are a bit long in the tooth there. Like,
I think they've got to get back to basics though, mate. They've got to offer good service, good plans, get people there, keep them there.
Yeah.
My other question to you is this. Do you think he'll talk to the two blokes?
You want him on the show?
Do you think? Well, no. I reckon if he wants to chat, would he talk to us? Yeah,
guaranteed.
We would have him on the show. Given the legacy of what happened before him,
that's a great. You know what? 100% yes. That's a great point because it's a good point. So there's two parts to that question. He's definitely going to have a great relationship with us because I've got a great relationship with him at NBN, and we get on well. So I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
And so given we consistently said that we would have Kelly on and they declined and that offer was out there, and you're right, because of our history with all their issues, let's
put the hand out.
It's not going to happen until probably 2025 because if he's only starting in November.
Yeah.
He'll come on. We'll sit down at Optus.
Interesting chat.
And
we can ask him about the NBN and, mate, that'd be a wide-ranging conversation. I think it'd be good.
Yeah. Right. I'll make it happen.
Oh, that's good, mate. You talk to his people, will you?
I'll just talk to him.
Talk to your friends at Optus.
Nah. I'll go straight to Stephen.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm there's good people at Optus now. I'm Clean yeah. slate with Optus. Clean slate. Yeah. Now that I know who's gone,
yeah,
I'm happy.
Yeah. And it was funny because I was on the radio last week, and one of my topics, radio TV topics last week, was the Open Signal and Optus having the best average Wi-Fi speed, 5G speeds. And I just threw in the fact that, and they haven't named a new CEO, by the way. 6 months later, still haven't named a CEO. And Boom. Then like literally days later, they named a CEO. Yeah.
You can go on next week and say, well, they heard us.
They heard me. Yeah, they heard me. They thought, oh, geez, we better get our act together.
All right, congratulations, Stephen Roo, and we look forward to Stephen Roo joining Stephen Fennick and Trevor Long on Two Blokes Talking Tech, episode 600 and...
I think it'd be 650-something? 6-7? 660?
Yeah, 6-6. Maybe 650, 650.
Call it a year away. Add 50. Add 50 to it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to wait a year.
Okay, I'll add 40 to it.
If it doesn't happen... before Christmas, it has to happen a month within the month after CES.
Yeah, well, he's not going to talk to us his first week in the job. He's going to talk to us first 3 months in the job.
Perfect time to do it. What's your plans? What's happening, etc.
Oh, I love the way you're thinking. Just if you can make that happen, that's good.
And I can't guarantee that, but I think let's pitch it.
Absolutely.
All right, all the details and photos. I mean, Stephen Roo, if you don't know who he is, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
We have great – Stephen and I have great faith in Optus going forward and look forward to their escalation out of the doldrums. You can read about those things at techguide.com.au and EFTM.com. Stephen, I need to edit your expletives.
I didn't know I was recording, mate. My counter never came up. I don't know what you did there, but I didn't notice. I must have blinked
or
something.
You weren't paying attention. You were absolutely – deadpan, not paying attention.
Okay. I think I was looking up at my South jersey in my background here that you were commenting on earlier.
Yeah, because they're losers. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Don't remind me, mate. Season from hell, I call it.
Stephen, see you next week, mate.
See you, mate.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennick.